Good afternoon, gamblers.
Tony.
This is Bro 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 Bets, a podcast for degenerates by degenerates. It is Friday, June 14th, and as you know, on Fridays, we are currently hitting at a 91.6%
nice,
rate,
Tony.
On Fridays.
Hey.
So, I mean, if you have to listen to one episode a week, make sure it's Friday, but then also listen to all four other days, please.
Yes.
But make sure Friday, but then also all four other days, please.
Please.
And rate and review.
And subscribe, rate, and review. Tell your degenerate friends, because we are hot. We are hot lately. Well, a little bit of a down night last night, if we're being honest.
A little bit.
Backslide.
Yeah.
We went 2-4 last night, but you know we were on the right side.
Yep.
Let's just say that. I mean, I had won my best bet. New York Mets first five. Okay.
Good work.
They up 2-1. Gorms, per usual. Nailed the WNBA.
Got that one.
There you go.
Didn't get the other side, though.
Never a doubt. I mean, we had the under first five for the Diamondbacks in Washington. And Arizona was up 5-0. And the over-under was 4.5.
I told you guys I was leaving the door open.
Correct.
For you there. I was leaving the window open, and I was probably making myself vulnerable.
And you did.
For you guys to even things up. And that's what happened.
Just a real true gamesman you are.
Took a shot.
Yeah, you took a shot with the Washington Nationals, and it didn't come true.
No, not even close.
But that happens. Mm-hmm. You know, that happens. And then who had the under first five Dodgers and Cubs?
I did.
You did. They were hitting.
Yeah.
They were hitting.
The bats were hot.
They were decided to hit. And then I threw it in the cup of coffee day parlay because it was Gorm's best bet, but Todd was on the other side. Todd took the Raptors. Gorm's had the Golden State Warriors. I said I was going to live bet it.
Well, I won that one, too.
Which one did you bet? Win?
The Golden State one.
What do you mean?
They won the game. I mean, they won. If he doesn't go down, that game's over. So I'm taking that as my victory.
Was it like a 2-point margin when he went down? I mean, how do we know? They lost two games with him.
And I'm trying to find.
And only won two games with him.
Just trying to find the rightness in this. And I can't.
Honestly,
I just can't.
It definitely didn't help their chances.
If Clay doesn't go out, yeah. I do think they win less.
You do?
Clay was. He already had
30.
I believe on this show yesterday, I said Clay is Mr. Game 6.
Yeah.
He already had 30. He was pulling up on fast breaks and just not even fucking touching net at all. Clay was on fire. And when he went out, they went to the box and won again and just had Curry triple team the entire time. And that was pretty much it. There was no offense out of Steph Curry in the fourth quarter.
I want Klay Thompson on my team, Todd.
I do too.
I do.
Well,
he
doesn't?
He goes down with an ACL. He goes to the tunnel. They call him back. Hey, if you want to stay in the game, you got to hit these free throws because he was fouled.
Mm-hmm.
He turns around, jogs back, hits a couple. Then after
he tries
to stay in and runs on a torn ACL, and he's like, okay. And then they get the timeout that day, and he just kind of saw. You know, I thought he was coming back the whole time. I thought he was coming back.
Well, from what I understand, when you tear your ACL, you're not really sure at first what
little
you've done
loose.
Because you can run on
little
it.
Loose.
It's just when you go to cut or something, or then you're going to notice, hey, things aren't staying together.
But then the swelling kicks in, and then it's over. Right?
Well, yeah, then it was like they went to Doris Burke, and she was in the hallway.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, Clay's in the locker room, and he's jumping up and down, trying to see if he's able to go and stuff like that.
It's weird.
I was like, oh, maybe he's coming back. And then literally 12 seconds later, they cut back to Doris, and it looks like she just saw a ghost.
Yep.
And she's like, Clay Thompson is out for the game. And I know she said Clay Thompson's out for the game, but I'm sure the doctors or whoever the PR person is for the Warriors came to her and said, Clay Thompson has a torn ACL, pretty much. Because the way that she said it, like, she was like the most sad human of all time.
Oh,
love DB. Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure he felt fine, but you know, those doctors were like, "Listen, as soon as you plant that leg and go to cut one direction or the other,
you're down.
You're gonna hate yourself."
Yeah. Kawhi wins the MVP. Everything goes as they thought.
Real quick. Yes or no time, Todd?
What
does he stay in Toronto?
Oh, you're talking about Leonard?
Yes.
Oh, I'm 80% sure he'll stay.
That's a yes. Tony, does he stay in Toronto?
I would stay.
Tony, let me ask you again.
Yeah, I fucking
does
don't.
Kawhi Leonard stay or go in Toronto?
I think he'll stay.
Everything I'm hearing is no. So if you're going to make me fucking play this game for us,
I love this game.
I'm going to say no. even though I think he should and I would.
I'm going to take the other side. No, I'm just kidding.
So much money. Yeah. So much more money. I don't know.
Yeah, but this will be fun. Apparently I'm hearing, and all everyone was talking about this morning was he's going to the fucking Clippers.
Yeah.
He went to San Diego State or whatever. Is he from California? Does anyone know?
Yes.
So he is from California.
Yes, California kid.
So that's why the Clippers are possibly the favorite there. I looked at the NBA. For next year, the Warriors are still a favorite, which I'm not sure why. Because I assume KD's gone, and I assume Klay's probably gone. And Iguodala's getting very old, and Livingston's dead, and who knows if Cousins is going to be there.
Right.
There's a lot of fucking questions for that team, but they're still 3-1 to win it, which is wild. And then the Lakers are number two. I just assume Vegas thinks that LeBron's going to get players to play with him. And then it's the Clippers, the Bucks. That's what that is for the NBA. It was a great NBA season. We did very, very well this NBA season as far as Bro Bets, so we're excited for that to return next year. Let's see if I can get our official NBA record for this year. We were up 8 units for the NBA this year, so not terrible.
Not terrible.
All right, let's get to our best bets.
Let's go.
Yesterday, best bets. Todd gave us a chance. He lost his best bet. Gorms also lost his best bet in the Golden State Warriors, but I won. So on the week, Todd was 4-1.
Nice one, Todd.
Gorms was 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 4-0-1.
Tony.
So that's a crown that's a crown for your boy.
Yeah.
How about you? King Diggs.
So our current standings, Todd has 2 crowns. Diggs has 2 crowns. Gorms has 1 crown. And the fucking math guy, the fucking guy who can't do math, tweeted me last week. Was like, well, actually, you have 2 half crowns. Do the fucking math. Add them up, okay? That's how
Tony. Tony's slapping around.
Yeah, he hit a little touchy spot.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously no NBA today. Obviously no NHL today. We've officially reached the dark ages of the sports landscape. We only have MLB baseball as this current standard everyday sport. So we're just going to do our best making MLB picks. We're going to continue to do our 32 teams in 32 days-ish. Continue to give you the best gambling news around. So today, you guys want to knock out some WNBA and MLB picks?
You know me.
And we're going to start with our best bets. So as winner last week, I feel like I should start. Do you guys feel the same way? Or
sure. I totally agree.
Yeah, Tony. I mean, he's just
winners first.
He's the dictator here.
Winners.
Well, that's just not how it works.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean,
we're not going to reward fucking losers, Gorms.
I know. No. But there's a lot of you're applauding yourself over here. We're just a nice, friendly little small show that tries to ATM some people some money.
Hey, kids got to learn. This is how it works. Winners
this is how it works.
Eat first.
That's right.
Winners eat first.
Tony, dive
in. I am going with my fellow Paisan. Lucas Giolito.
Giolito.
The White Sox are taking on the Yankees. You can get the White Sox first 5 run line. Sorry. Not run line. I'm going money line.
Yeah, stupid. Let's not get crazy.
It's stupid to go run line when it's plus 100. It's even money. So I'm going money line for the White Sox first 5. Lucas Giolito. Okay? Here's his last starts. How many earned runs he's given up from nearest to farthest. Okay? In his last outing, he gave up 0. Outing before that, 0. Then he had a 3 spot in there. Then it was 0, 1, 1, and 0. And he's gone like 8 innings every fucking game. The kid is on fire. Going against the Yankees, who haven't been great on the road as far as hitting. And then CeCe's on the mound, who has a 5.6 ERA on the road. So I am going to go with the White Sox and Lucas Giolito. Money line first 5 is my best bet.
Nice one, Tony.
Okay.
He dug.
Todd, like since you came in second, and we don't reward fucking losers here, Gorms, you could go second on best bets today.
Oh, I can.
No. Todd, I'm just
looking at you.
No, okay. You have to go last.
To fucking
explain
to you
both
how things work.
Words start with L. Loser and last.
Okay.
Sorry, man.
That's how it works.
Maybe do better.
Okay.
Maybe only do WNBA.
That's what I got today. I know.
My best bet for today, the Mets first 5 money line against the Cardinals. Steven Matz is on the mound for the Mets. He's 3-0 with a 1.8 ERA at home. He's a lefty. The Cardinals are 22nd in the league hitting against lefties on the road. The Cardinals are starting Daniel Ponce de Leon. This is only his second start this year. Take the Mets first five money lines.
I cannot believe that you're going against one of the greatest explorers that this world has ever seen in Ponce de Leon.
Well, I think he's explorer who's full of shit because he claimed he found the Fountain of Youth.
Yeah.
Where is it now?
What? Good question.
Where is it now?
He's got a great game in the pool, though, too. I love that. His pool game.
That's Marco Polo.
No, we played Ponce de Leon.
Nobody plays
Ponce de Leon.
Nobody.
Ponce de Leon. No?
Nobody. Nobody plays that.
Well, maybe the kids will do it this season. Who knows?
What's your fucking best bet?
Best bet is the WNBA tonight. It's a full slate of four games. I found a best bet tonight. I am playing all four games. Normally, if I have just a little bit of, I'm not going there, I won't play it, but there is four games on the slate.
You feel good about all four,
I do.
Huh?
And the New York Liberty, winners of two in a row.
First of all, let me start this by saying that you have become the premier WNBA gambling expert in the nation.
I'm number
two. Your 30-day record, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm looking at the numbers. I think it's your 137-2-1.
137-2-1.
Well, which is unprecedented.
It's somewhere near there.
Plus 1 billion units.
1 billion units.
All right, boys.
Pay attention.
Here we go. The best bet tonight is the New York Liberty. And you're like, what? I'm scratching my head, Gorman. What are you saying? This is a terrible team that dropped 17 in a row. But they have won their last two in a row, and Tina Charles plays the biggest role in that, you know, turnaround that they have going. And here's why I love it even the most. The line started. It comes out at 10:30 Eastern, about 7:30 Pacific for the WNBA. The line starts at 12.5, plus 12.5. By 10:40, it was already at 10.5, dropped 2 points. So the sharp money is what we're talking about early, and the people that know the WNBA know that this Liberty team is turning it around. And Las Vegas Aces, Bill Laimbeer, you're my guy, my bad boy guy, but he is calling out his team in the press.
Okay.
They are trying to find out who they are because they got some new players in there, and it's a little bit of a mess over there. So I am taking the New York Liberty plus the 10.5 points, right now against the Las Vegas Aces, who are 2-3 overall on the year. And Laimbeer is not happy. He's saying, hey, we got to get these new faces, you know, mixing and meshing with the players that were here last year. It's going to take a while. I like to take the points tonight, the New York Liberty plus the 10.5.
You know what? Just keep it rolling. What are your other WNBA picks?
Let's
tonight?
Stay in it. Okay, Phoenix Mercury, I'm talking to you. And, of course, with Todd, you know, you and I have talked about Dawana Bonner a lot and Brittany Griner.
Yeah, you guys have.
Almost, I mean, dominant in the middle, some big bodies there. They're taking on the L.A. Sparks. Chinne Ogumike is new to that team, and they're also, like the Las Vegas Aces, trying to figure out who they are. Okay, that line tonight is Phoenix at home minus the 2.5 against the Sparks, who are 3-2. Sparks playing pretty good. They're going to be good. But listen, this is the last of a four-game road swing, and they're in Phoenix. Close to home, but they're not home.
Yeah, yeah.
I am taking the Mercury minus the 2.5 points to even their overall record at 3-3 on the year. Again, Phoenix minus 2.5 against the Sparks. Now, let's go to the casino, because when Tony asked me last week if you're going to the Mohegan Sun, I said, no, I'm not. He said, that's a mistake. Well, guess what, Tony? I'm taking the Mohegan Sun Casino on the road tonight. And, of course, I'm talking about the Connecticut Sun.
Uh-huh.
They are on the road at the Minnesota Lynx. Good team, 4-3.
Don't go against Oriyama.
I know, but they have something going on in Minnesota that isn't up to par right now. And Connecticut Sun is telling everybody that'll listen, hey, Jonquel Jones, I put up 26 and had 14 rebounds last game. I am here to play. I like the Connecticut Sun to cover 5.5 points against the Minnesota Lynx at Minnesota.
Okay.
So I'm taking a big road favorite there. And finally, let's wrap it up. We have the Washington Mystics, and you know I love Elena Deladon.
You know
she
you
is
do.
Dominant. But the last two games, just okay.
Okay.
Just okay. 13 points rough last start. Routing out there, but Seattle Storm. You have Natasha Howard, who's playing out of her mind, and, of course, one of the great names in the WNBA, Jewel Lloyd,
yep.
is playing
oh,
great
Jewel.
Basketball.
Great
so the line
great
is at
singer.
8. Washington Mystics host the Seattle Storm. I am going on the flip side and taking the points and the Seattle Storm to keep it close against the Mystics. So in wrap-up, I like Seattle plus the 8 against Washington. I like the Connecticut Sun minus the 5.5 against the Minnesota Lynx. I like the Phoenix Mercury at home hosting the Sparks. They are at minus 2.5. And finally, my best bet, New York Liberty plus the 10.5 against the Las Vegas Aces.
Hey.
There we go.
That's it for the WNBA today. Thank you so much for tuning in.
I told you I had a full slate. But boy, here's what I could do.
I love it.
I know, but here's what I could do. I could play two or one WNBA games and then put my thumb in my rear end and try and pick a baseball game. So I'm not doing it.
People are getting rich. For the first time in history, people are getting rich on WNBA gambling.
137-2.
Do you have any other baseball games, Todd?
I do. I like Milwaukee, first five money line against the Giants. Zach Davies is starting for Milwaukee. Yep. That's really all we have to say. He's 7-0. He's got a 2.41 ERA. The Giants are starting Drew Pomeranz, 1-6, 7.16 ERA. He's trash. Milwaukee is third in the league in runs scored in the first five. The Giants are last in runs scored first five innings.
Not great.
That's a great bet.
I also have another baseball bet. I'm going first five under Cubs and Dodgers. Didn't work out for you yesterday, but it's going to work out for me today.
Tell me why, Tony.
I think you're right.
Rich Hill's on the mound.
I love Rich Hill.
Rich Hill's been great. And Hendricks is on the mound for the Cubs. He's been great. And that's all you need to know.
Fair enough.
That's all you need to know. So we're going first five under Cubs and Dodgers there. You got anything else?
I have Cleveland money line at Detroit. The Indians are banged up right now, but let's be honest, the Tigers are just a steamy pile of shit. And they're starting Ryan Carpenter, 1-3, 7.89 ERA. He's a lefty, and Cleveland has won five out of its last six games against left-handed starters, and they are 4-1 in their last five outings by starter Adam Plutko. Let's go, Tribe.
All right, so that's our W and NBA and MLB for today. As we said before, we are 91.6% on Fridays. So if there's a day to play the cup of coffee, the parlay, the day to blah, 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 today is the day.
Well said, Tony.
And we have a nine-teamer today. It's a strong nine-teamer today. Oof. With four WNBA, five MLB.
Love it.
Let's roll with it through right now. We have the Chicago Cubs, LA Dodgers, first five under. We have the Chicago White Sox, first five money line. We have the New York Mets, first five money line. We have the New York Liberty, plus the 10.5. The Mercury, minus 2.5. The Connecticut Sun, minus 6. Seattle Storm, plus 9. Milwaukee Brewers, first five money line. And the Cleveland Indians, money line. 9-team parlay. Oh, nice little
talk to me, Tony.
$5 to win $1,115.
Well, let's fucking go.
Let's fucking go. You guys have yourself an incredible weekend. But before you do that, enjoy our continued run of 32 teams in 32 days-ish with the Philadelphia Eagles. Good luck.
Good luck.
Today, we continue with our 32 teams in 32 days-ish NFL preview.
Ish.
For the 2019 season. Today, we have the Eagles. So, we brought in Eagles expert, John Barchard. How you doing today, John?
Good. Doing awesome, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. You can find John on Sports Radio WIP and the Go Birds pod. So, make sure you go check them out there. So, we start off every... one of these things with the over-under team total for the team. And the Eagles this season are at 10. How do you feel about that number?
10 feels like a push.
Okay.
You know, 10 is like right where I think I have them. And I'm saying this even though I just said in our latest podcast that I do think that the Eagles can be like a top three offense this year because just have so many weapons. Carson Wentz looks incredibly healthy, incredibly sharp in the first, you know, few weeks of OTAs. And again, now that we're in the middle of minicamp, nothing's really changed out of that. I do think it's part of, I don't know if this is still the good Dallas Cowboys or the bad Dallas Cowboys in the division. And that's going to really determine whether it's 10 or 11, because we do believe that, you know, listen, it's Dallas has drafted really well. It's got a young core there. I still have a lot of questions on, you know, Amari Cooper and Zeke and Dak and how they're all going to fit together in the salary cap. Now, the tank just got paid, and who knows what's going to happen there. But I think 10's a push. 10 and 6 seems right, and I think 10 and 6 is kind of what would win the division at the end of the day. They do have a couple of really tough road stretches, and then they got to face, you know, Seattle, New England, and Chicago in back-to-back-to-back weeks. Granted, it's all at home, but Schedule didn't do him a ton of favors, so I think 10 wins is a push. I think that's a – and, you know, play the over. I mean, life's too short to play the under.
Yeah, I agree 1,000%. Like, I think the 10 is the floor for the Philadelphia Eagles. You talked about the weapons. I mean, it's Alshon, Deshaun Jackson, Nelson Aguilar, the rookie, Arcega Whiteside, which I saw yesterday at practice was incredible. Was that correct?
Yeah, I mean, just the red zone capability is just on him alone. And he's done it with three different quarterbacks. I mean, he is like a 50-50 a ball machine. And then every time that they throw it up to him, he somehow, you know, plants his feet down in the corner and is securing the ball really nicely. And we also learned it's actually Arcega Whiteside.
Oh, that's on me. That's on me.
No, that's on all of us. We were saying the same thing. We had to get him to clarify it. So we're like, okay, cool. So, yeah, Segatron is I guess, the nickname that is starting to brew. Down here, but he's been the most impressive rookie through the first 3 weeks here. Obviously, you know, the offense is always going to look a little better in OTAs to kind of start there too. So, yeah, I mean, between all that, and then you just have the surprising thing to me is how good Jordan Howard is at catching a football, because he didn't really do that in Chicago.
Never had a chance.
Yeah, exactly. And now there's Deuce Daly saying, like, I've never heard of that before. He's catching the ball great, and we're going to continue to use that. So, you know, and then you just add whatever. I don't know. Zach Ertz, who just had broke a record last year. Then you have Dallas Goedert adding his second year. It's just like weapons upon weapons upon weapons upon weapons. So, yeah, I think, you know, in terms of fantasy, I don't know who you can nail down, but these guys are going to be productive for
all of them. Is Deuce Daly still a house?
Is he still what?
A house.
A house? Oh, my God, yes. You know, he is packing it in, man. Dude, like,
when the deuce was loose, he was squatting like 800, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's weird to go back and look at him as a player and then look at him as a coach, because he is – I don't know if it's the cheesesteaks or just, you know, what's going on at NovaCare, but, man, like, he – I mean, he still looks good, and he's got a threatening premise at all times, we're always scared to ask questions. But, yeah, he is packing it on, man, and, you know, good for him.
John, a lot of veterans are lost from last season to this season. Haloti Ngata, Chris Long retired, Michael Bennett to the Pats. What does that do for that locker room? A lot of guys that have a ton of starts under their belt. What does that do for the locker room, no veterans? Not no veterans, but these three veterans gone.
Yeah, I think Bennett, to his own, was just, you know, he was in and out for 1 year. And, you know, take it for what it's worth, a lot of their inside guys basically said that Michael Bennett was an asshole. They didn't really want to keep him around that much longer. You know, Chris Long, obviously, I think, had a major impact on that locker room. I mean, LeGarrette Blount did, too, oddly enough, during that Super Bowl run where people were kind of, for some reason, didn't think he was a good teammate. But, I mean, man, you know, they crushed that. And they've had guys come in and out of there the last couple of years. But at the core, it's kind of the one great thing about Doug Peterson and what he's created in there. Everybody seems to kind of get along. Zach Brown, who they just signed from Washington, even mentioned that. And the first day that he was available to talk to the media, he's sitting here going like, man, this isn't anything like Washington. There's no clicks. I can, you know, talk shit to the offensive lineman. I can talk shit to the running backs. And this is great. Like, we're all just hanging out, and it's, you know, much, much, much different. So I think that's just a big credit to what they've done since 2016. And yeah, there aren't a ton of, like, those established Super Bowl champion veterans that are still in here. But there have been, you know, Lane Johnson's still here. Jason Peters is still here. There's a lot of guys that have been through the whole Chip Kelly area and even before that. So they know what to face on here. And I don't think that's going to be a ton of issues. But I do think that defensive end is a little overlooked right now. And I'm not exactly sure how it's all going to pan out in terms of snaps and sacks and all that. There's a lot of young guys that, you know, like Derek Barnett, who they drafted, you know, a couple of years ago. It's going to be in his third year, and everybody's kind of all eyes on him and Josh Sweat and all these new names that a lot of people nationally don't know about. So we'll have to wait and see. And, of course, Howie is always good at pulling off moves right at the end towards training camp, and Jim Schwartz has hinted at that. So I think it matters when it comes to the ends, but I don't think the overall culture of the locker room is affected.
I got to know, John, are you – and I know he plays for Jacksonville, but not about this upcoming season. Were you a Foles guy?
Okay, so I'm going to start this by I hated Nick Foles when Chip Kelly was here. I was so happy when he got traded. I was like, get him out of here and please get us a real quarterback. And then I somehow talked myself into Sam Bradford when that trade went down. Boy, was that a big miss.
Oh, my.
But I do think it is, like, at the beginning when it was back and forth here, and what are the Eagles going to do with Nick Foles? There's a lot of shouting matches for at least 2 or 3 months, and I totally understand. I've never seen Nick Foles play football like that ever until he got to the playoffs twice and in that Super Bowl. Like, I get it. But at the end of the day, that's how good Carson Wentz is now, and his potential of – it's really just about him staying healthy. Everything else is noise, you know. Like, he is incredible. Like, he's a really, really good quarterback. I don't know what's going to happen to Nick in Jacksonville, but I don't think he's really set up for success down there. Do you guys?
Right.
I mean,
no,
that's kind of
– No, I was shocked. I was shocked that the number –
quarterback's going to die.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I was shocked at the number that he signed for, but I get it because he's a quarterback, and then playoff Nick and regular season Nick are two different guys, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, and anyone besides Blake Bortles, they're going to fucking pay, if we're being honest.
No, and that's true, and that's the burning question. Like, I have no fucking clue what Tom is doing down there. Why is Jalen Ramsey pissed off? Why is one of your best pass rushers even pissed off? Why is Malik Jackson in Philadelphia?
Like, there it is.
They still really have a great wide receiving core. They don't – their O-line's, like, okay. So if I'm rooting for Nick Foles. I hope he has a great career down there because – The regular season Nick Foles that I remember doesn't finish seasons and gets hurt.
Yep.
So I want Nick to succeed. I just think it's not great for Jacksonville, and I don't, you know, Doug Marrone's whatever. So we'll see.
Yeah, and you just brought up a name that I want to talk, like, so Chris Long left, yeah. And so, but I don't see that as being an issue because you do bring in, I can't even imagine the havoc that Malik Jackson and Fletcher Cox are going to wreck in the middle. Yeah. And then Brandon Graham has always been good. Mm-hmm. And then if you, even a rotation with Barnett and Curry and Josh Sweat, like I think the D-line is probably obviously the strength of the defense. How's the secondary going to look though?
Man, that's a great question. So we've just started our nerdy charting process of how this is going to go, because there's a lot of DBs, right? But we're having the debate right now. Do the Eagles have a lot of DBs or do they have a lot of good DBs? And that's why they're keeping all these guys together. Like last year, it was terrible. Everybody got banged up and hurt again. And, you know, somehow they still made it to the playoffs after that. But there was really random guys that emerged that were just off the street. Cravon LeBlanc, who was like moving all over the place. He was in Chicago. He had a cup of coffee with Detroit, suddenly gets signed and plays in your nickel slot, and he looks outstanding. And then last year, fourth-round pick, Avante Maddox, who was
big guy,
looked and built to play safety, and now all of a sudden he's playing outside corner and leading into OTAs. He's your starting outside corner along with Rasul Douglas, and then there's still Sidney Jones that are hanging out there. Mills and Darby, they're injured. Darby's back. And then you have a mix of other like young guys behind that for depth. And I don't really know. We actually kicked around. I was like, well, hey, I mean, if the Jaguars are not really making Jalen Ramsey happy, how can you get on the phone? You know, like, let's go, let's do this. But I think it's more than serviceable. I do think that they have a lot of different talent that's happening. And I think this is going to create a really good competition of, you know, who's going to step up to the plate here and be your starting corners. Yeah. If you ask anybody in Philly, you're going to get 7 different answers. So we'll just, it's a wait and see, but I think they don't get enough credit for how good the group is as a whole. And it really just comes back to health and things like that.
Are you okay with the Wentz contract after missing some time the last 2 seasons?
Absolutely. You know, this is, I was an advocate of paying him early because you might as well just take the gamble already. If you're not going to have Nick Foles here, and you're not going to trade away Wentz, and your decision's been made, then your pot's basically cashed. Like, it's there. And, you know, a lot smarter people than me, like Joe Banner and Andrew Brand, have already commented, like, it's really just an extra $35 million in guaranteed money that you're sliding over to him anyway, based on what his contract is now. So that's a great bet, you know. And there's risk involved. There's obviously on both sides. But I think it's a lot riskier to go down the other path of, okay, well, we're not going to pay you this year. We might wait. We saw what happened with Cousins in Washington, and he still got paid out of that. But you still don't want that kind of feeling. You want to make a decision moving forward. I can't imagine all the questions that he'd be getting, you know, coming into the season or even midway through the season about contract talks. And, God knows what else. I think that's just kind of saying, hey, we do believe in your talent, your ceiling. This is your show now. You're always going to be chasing the ghost of Nick Foles in Philadelphia, but you know, this part of it helps. And listen, if things go awry, they're screwed anyway. So it ends and starts with him, and I like the deal. I think it ends up working out. Plus, you're going to see Dak and Goff, and probably even Holmes make crazy amounts of money in the 38, 35, $36 million range now because of this. And I think that's kind of built into the contract. There is, you know, injury risk in there where he's really only making $26 million over the next 6 years in each year in value. So I think it was a good bet for the Eagles to take.
Yeah, and I don't think those other quarterbacks even come close to Wentz. Todd,
right. Yeah, I'm sure this is complete bullshit, but you have such an intimate relationship with the team. I think you're the person to ask. There's all those people that were like, oh, for some reason we think the players offensively rally more behind Foles than they do Wentz. Is there anything that you can clue us in on that as far as Wentz, what kind of leader he is and what he's like in the locker room? Is there any truth to that whatsoever?
I think there's got to be a little truth to it.
Okay.
Right? Because I mean, the guy, it's just, we couldn't explain it. You guys probably couldn't explain it either, especially through the regular season leading in to that playoff run. Uh-huh. And I'll share something with you. They didn't know what was going on with Nick Foles. The things I heard was they sat him down and they said, what do you need? Because this isn't going to work. You know, and leading into that Falcons playoff game, he was still struggling. And then he goes on two massive runs, and then force, you know, the underdog thing happens, everybody's fired up. Uh-huh. It would be crazy not to think that at least some of that locker room prefers Foles and some of that locker room prefers Wentz, and maybe that got into built into some of the decisions that they made in the offseason too. I don't know, but I don't think Wentz has to win over the team or anything like that. I just think that's just naturally going to happen. I've never seen a situation like this before in the NFL happen, and you're just kind of sitting and waiting and saying, okay, who are the guys that Wentz needs to impress? And everybody has a bunch of different guesses on that. I honestly believe some of those guys were on one-year deals that might have made some of those comments. And now it's probably, you know, focus more on the team getting better. He doesn't have to worry about his knee or his rehab or his best friend Zekers that he keeps throwing to or whatever kind of storyline does anybody wants to come up with there. It's really just about feeling comfortable now, and then he's got there's another window for him too. I mean, that's the great thing about Howie, is he kind of created that with that new contract. There's going to be younger players that come in here. You know, he's again been attached to the hip with Doug Peterson since he got drafted. Mm-hmm. So those are all good things. I honestly think he just needs to win playoff games, and people will suddenly just go, okay, this is cool. Let's just keep moving forward.
Yeah, forget all about it. Yeah.
I wouldn't look too much into it, but I'm sure that there's somebody in that locker room that believes that.
Hey, John, give me the good, bad, or otherwise on DeSean Jackson 2.0.
Real good, real good. Like this is all the bullshit OTA stuff, but both him and Alshon Jeffrey look like they're in incredible shape. Mm-hmm. And I especially more so Alshon Jeffrey than DeSean. 3 years that I've been here, I don't think Jeffrey's been healthy coming into the offseason. And maybe this is my first glimpse at him kind of seeing that. But I think between him and DeSean, they complement each other perfectly. And on top of that, the Eagles have been trying to find a deep threat forever. I mean, you know, Torrey Smith was a nice player in 17. Then they tried Mike Wallace on a one-year deal, and he ends up getting hurt. And why not just go out and bring back probably one of the best deep threats maybe ever in the NFL and pair him back up? And he seems hungrier in terms of now I just need a ring to almost try and solidify my place in the Hall of Fame. And I think that's really the only thing on his mind coming back to Philly. And you can kind of tell that that's where he's at. I mean, he was at every single OTA practice. Obviously showed up for minicamp. He really wanted to get that rapport down with Carson Wentz almost immediately, and I think he's done so. They were dynamic in the first couple of weeks of OTAs and on the same page, and now it's just about widening that. And he said all the right things too. So I think DeSean 2.0 is going to be pretty awesome in the early part of the year. The only questions we have is to just in you know, they've been really saying like, hey, we're going to throw more 12 personnel, more two tight end sets with Dallas and Ertz in here. So based on matchups, you might be a little frustrated in terms of their usage and things like that, but really just creates such a dynamic weapon for this offense that they badly needed since Doug got here.
And feeding the homeless at 1 a.m. in the Philadelphia area, that's going to embrace fans.
Yes, and he's been doing that a lot in his career. And he did that a lot of the time, you know, with his first go with the Eagles. So I'm glad that got spotlighted. It's, he's done a lot of positive things for the community, as much as his immaturity has shown over the years. And clearly he's a different guy from when he was here last. But yeah, I thought that was really cool that they spotlighted that.
Yeah, the only thing I could see, like you said, the only thing you could see going wrong there is that there are so many weapons on offense. If Deshaun doesn't get as many looks as he thinks he should get, is he going to stay a good teammate and look for that ring, or is he going to do what Deshaun has done in the past is my only worry. But I'll get you out of here on this. We've done this with everyone who's come in here. Week one against the Redskins. The line is -8. How do you feel about it?
I mean, I think at one point it was at -6 right as the draft ended. And it keeps, I think that thing's going to tick up. I mean, Washington's a disaster.
Disaster.
This is, Jay Gruden's not staying. That's been, I remember the junkies down in D.C. talking about that. So I think they're probably going to be not only the worst team in the NFC East, I think they have a great chance to be the worst team in the NFL this year. And I think -8 might be a steal week one, especially like, you know, the play that they're going to open up with. It's going to be, you know, max protect, two wide receiver set, a play action pass that goes through Jordan Howard, and they're going to dive it deep to Deshaun Jackson. That is exactly what they're going to do. So I think that gets them going early. And honestly, I think it's a blowout by the second quarter. So -8's great.
Awesome. I'm going to lock it in right now. John, thank you so much for coming on. You can find him at John Barchard on Twitter, Sports Radio WIP, and the Go Birds pod. We appreciate you for coming on today.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, buddy.